Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily lives, in our personal lives, in the political life, in the headlines, in the world events. And we like to share this with you. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. I've just driven across the country and back to Vermont, and so took me a minute to remember where I'm calling from tonight. And I am normally joined by my friends, Mark Woltz. And Mark, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Hey there. And where are you speaking from tonight?
From New York City, which I
Wonderful.
Call home. Welcome
and,
home to you.
And thank you. Yes, we just got in a few hours ago, three-day drive from Vermont. And Ann Orley is normally here with us, and she may join us a little bit later. And, boy, what a strong fire sign couple of days it's been with the Moon in Aries, Sun and Venus and Jupiter in Leo, and the Moon in Aries and near Uranus. I felt it kind of bouncing off the wall while we were driving across the country. How have you felt the last couple of days? The Moon just went into Taurus a few minutes ago,
which I'm actually
quite relieved.
Yeah, I think, you know, there should be a little rest now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got back from two weeks at a women's Sundance, a Lakota-led women's Sundance up in Vermont. It was really powerful and really beautiful. And I started collecting birth data, and I noticed, you know, that we spend a lot of time around it. We keep a fire lit for 8 days, and that fire needs to be watched very carefully. And there's a sweat lodge before, you know, twice a day. And I've noticed how many fire sign moons were amongst the people that were tending the fire. It was really quite interesting to, you know, it's again, sometimes you collect. I remember working in Santa Fe in the personnel office of a wonderful spa, 10,000 Waves, and we had lots of massage therapists, and they did in water at a, you know, body temperature tub, they did an in-water massage called Watsu. And the only people that were good at it, really, were people with a water sign moon. And they were comfortable working and living and spending all day long in the water and working with people. So it's interesting to watch how those moon signs affect us and what we're drawn to and where we feel comfortable and we feel at home. But I was just noticing that as the moon changed into Taurus right now. Venus is also square Saturn today, and that can test relationship or it tempts us to test relationships or just need to do a little struggling to try to figure out what is. Have you noticed anything with the Venus-Saturn square?
Not in particular.
Mm-hmm. And normally how do you see the Venus-Saturn square work out in people's charts or in relationships?
Well, often,
what advice would you give people?
It often is a situation of lacking finances. You know,
mm-hmm.
things don't...
Yes, feeling
things
of things a little tight around the edges.
Exactly, yeah. And then it can also show up with friendships and relationships where there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, some kind of restriction on what the friendship can accomplish or what it's doing, how it's acting in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's often a questioning of the relationship. You know, is this really
yeah.
right for me? I feel
mm-hmm.
like it's holding me back. It's restricting
mm-hmm.
me in some way. So
mm-hmm.
people get impatient with whatever sort of friendship or romance they're in.
One thing I have found that can help with that, exactly that relationship, that testing sense, is if the two people or the group can work together on a project, that you need to put Saturn in a different, instead of, you know, boy, this relationship is a lot of work, how can we be in relationship towards this work? That we have to use this Saturn somehow. So
yeah,
people that work on a project together, or people that are working on their craft, because it's also Saturn to Venus. You know, it's the desire to work to make things more beautiful or more how we want them. And tomorrow, Mars trines Saturn, just time for the Republican debate, which is going to be interesting. Mercury is squaring Saturn. It's a very debate-like energy. You know, and Mercury will be sesquiquadrate with Pluto and semi-sextile to Mars. So there's going to be a You know, you can really feel that debate energy with the Moon in Taurus and the Sun in Leo. Fixed sign, fixed sign, fixed sign. And that will be interesting to see.
It's likely to mean about half of the people at the table are wishing they weren't at the table, you know.
Yes, indeed. Well, there's so many people at the Republican, the GOP table this year. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. But right now, this weekend, we've got this Leo energy coming up today and early tomorrow with a Mercury-Jupiter conjunction on Friday morning, a really nice aspect. So tomorrow may feel a little debate-filled, even if you're not at the debates. The following week, we've got, the following day on Friday, the morning, we have a beautiful Mercury-Jupiter conjunction, which can help us feel free or feel ready to go off. You've got a vacation to go to or something exciting to do this weekend. It's a great time for that. Mercury, though, enters Virgo, and Jupiter enters Virgo early next week. So already our thoughts, I think you're going to be able to see the first leaves turning color this weekend as Mercury enters Virgo and start to plan ahead. But Mars is heading into Leo next week, so it's not time to give up summer. We really need to fill up on the joy and the enthusiasm and the fun and the, you know, and the family dramas of summer and work out as much as we can now before the work season kicks in, even though we're going to be thinking about it ahead of time with Mercury and starting in Virgo right away.
Yeah, Mercury and Virgo, it should be a really good period of time to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury
mm-hmm.
and Virgo is kind of a busybody, but in a way that accomplishes things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So that's going to be interesting. Now, we've got one caller on the line, and we have a question that was sent in to us by email. So, and I'm going to give out the phone number for those that would like to call in. And the call-in number for guests is 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. And we'll take your calls and a question, and you try to answer the question that can be in a way that is both helpful to you and gives some information to the audience about how we use astrology. So we'll start with the first one.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you tonight?
I would like to know, please, the transits that stand out in my chart.
Okay. And when were you born?
January 5th, 1981.
81, and what time?
9 p.m.
And where?
Bayonne, New Jersey.
Bayonne, New Jersey. Okay.
Thank you so much.
And do you know if that at 9 o'clock time was pretty accurate?
More or less. My mom says between 8 and 9 p.m.
Okay. So we'll give it a...
So my friend
it could
I'm
be
a Virgo
slightly
rising.
Different. Okay. And so you know your chart somewhat already?
Not really. My friend's into astrology, and she tells me things sometimes, but I never remember them.
Okay, so you were born on at the very dark of the moon of Capricorn. Your sun in Capricorn and moon in Capricorn at 12 mm-hmm. and 15 degrees, and with a Virgo rising, and the so you got practical, Mercury in Capricorn, and your moon at 12 degrees, sun at 15 degrees. So you were born in the last 6 hours before the new moon.
Mm.
Right now, your progressed moon is in Aries, and the most powerful transit, you know, you've been going through some pretty upsetting or challenging or, you know, change-filled aspects. Luckily, you have, by the way, Venus and Neptune exactly conjunct at 23 degrees of Sagittarius, which is kind of fun. It gives you, for a double Capricorn, it gives you more lightheartedness and a sense of humor and a connection to the natural world and intuition and a philosophical side, which can really help lighten up the rest
yeah,
of your chart and give you kind of, because the sun and moon and Mercury conjunction in Capricorn natally can make you so focused and come from a long line of hardworking women. Being born at the last, right before the new moon, that you're here to really complete a body of work this time around. And to kind of finish up a lot of karmic details and just kind of have a sense of closure. And you're probably very good at what you're good at and not particularly interested in what you're not particularly interested in. But still curious about the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Uranus has been squaring your moon, sun, and Mercury for the last couple of years. And Pluto has just conjunct your moon, and it's moving up to conjunct your sun, then it goes back to your moon, then it conjuncts your sun, then it goes on to your Mercury. So that's kind of a tough transit. It's not terrible, but it says it's pushing you to be all that you can be. And is perfectly happy to use depression or discomfort or seriousness or challenging events to help you step out of what's comfortable and push you to take the risk to do something to make the most of yourself. And that's like years worth, like last year and this year. It's less about events happening to you and more about how do you want to respond to your life.
Mm.
Jupiter has been in your 12th house for the last year, kind of opening up some of your ideas and philosophies. And Jupiter comes across the ascendant and comes into your first house in the next few months. And that may help you feel more visible, more outgoing, more connected than you have for a while. Can you tell me what's the nature of your work?
I teach yoga.
You teach yoga. So
now
with
I
that
do.
Capricorn.
Before I used to have a real job.
You used to what? I'm sorry.
Before I had like a real job in a corporate environment. Now I teach yoga. So everything that you're saying about being
mm-hmm.
coming through lots of change, this is a result
yep.
of that.
Yeah. And it looks like some of it wasn't easy.
No.
but you have Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto conjunct in the house of finance. So you've got a real knack for dealing with business and finance.
Yes.
And a fair amount of ambition. So I don't see you teaching yoga for long. I see you running the yoga studio.
Yeah.
You know, you're a good teacher, but there's once you've mastered one thing, you tend to want to master the next thing, and then the
yep.
next thing, and then the
mm-hmm.
next thing. And you have a good business sense, which is not common in the yoga field.
Mm-hmm.
So to do good business in a way that is not corporate, but is highly efficient, but is still connected to good values in the heart, would be really important to you.
That sounds amazing.
So, like, you studied one side of the corporate world, then you went all the way over here and you're becoming a yoga teacher. And there's a third position which uses both sides together that I think is coming as a result of these Pluto transits over the next couple of years.
Wow.
So how can you integrate both sides of yourself? Just let that be a question. Don't hurry it, but think that it might be moving, coming up, but that it's possible.
Yeah, and think of it as being able to harness the energy that's moving around you and through you. So you think of in what way can you channel energy and power, you know, that is satisfying to you and uses the talents that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So think channeling.
That's very interesting. I'm not sure how to really take that, though, in terms of channeling, using the energy that I have and the talents that I have
right.
to move to the next step.
Right.
Yeah, and so be open to what's coming along. It's not something that you'll see coming necessarily. It's more an opportunity that just opens to you. And if you're ready, you give it a try. See what happens.
So as a Capricorn, I'm always planning for the next thing. But for now, you're saying to maybe just settle down a little bit and watch, let it come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, watch and see what kind of things are opening up that you wouldn't have planned or thought of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, be proud of yourself. It's like you always, it's wonderful to be pushing yourself always a little harder and a little farther. And I want you to practice celebrating and appreciating each step along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That you tend to kind of like got that, push yourself onto the next one instead of, be proud of where you are. And I think that's hard on your nervous system and wears you out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I think that that's a pattern that runs on the female side of your family.
That's probably true, yeah. Yes.
If you can practice just, it doesn't mean that you don't move on to the next thing, but you stop and go, that worked, and I did a good job, and just teaching that class felt really nice, and I realized that I reached that person. And just savor it so that you it's like fertilizing what you want to grow in your life. By paying attention to it and respecting when things work. You know, I'm just sitting there in the middle of, I'm sitting in the sun for 5 minutes, and it feels so good, and really appreciating that 5 minutes. And then going on to the next thing. Because you're the kind of person who tends to make a list for everything you need to get done that day, and you always feel bad because it's never crossed off enough. And you look at that list, and it's longer than anybody else would ever assign themselves. And so make shorter lists and celebrate at the end of that list, and then start on the next day's list if you get a chance. But it's always pushing yourself out of, so it's hard to appreciate the moment. And I just want you to savor the moment, appreciate it, and watch how your health improves.
Okay, yes, thank you for that. That's really sweet advice and intuitive.
And,
good.
Good. Any other questions?
No, I think that's really covers it. You're spot on with everything, and all of the changes that I've gone through, and all of the changes that I still feel are coming.
Yep.
Right. You know, just be open and relax a little bit.
Be open, relax a little bit, you know, as you know, let it naturally flow. Let, as a yoga teacher, probably you have people stretch themselves as far as comfortable, but not so far that it hurts, and that they slowly grow that comfort. Can you do the same for your own soul? That you stretch yourself as far as is comfortable, and then you relax into that position, and you wait till you've fully arrived there before you stretch a little bit farther.
Yeah, you can develop a feeling that you're being stretched by something beyond yourself. So, you know, in the same, I mean, it's true in a yoga practice, and it's true also in how you live all of your life. And you'll have had for much of your life a feeling that you're responsible to exercise your power. But you're in a period now where something different will happen if you feel like, if I just open up, the power will flow through me. And that's what you want to find, that feeling. When you have that feeling, then you're tuning into what's going on. So it's a little bit, you're not as much in control as you'd like to think you are. And that can be exciting in a new way.
No, yeah. It can be a big relief, too, that I don't have to do everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Your life will, like, there's a lot of new beginnings that are still coming. Jupiter's moving into your first house in the next couple of months. Mercury moves into your first house in the next couple of weeks. So there's a chance to be visible, to speak up, to get some good publicity, or to just promote yourself coming up, starting in a few weeks, and then continuing in through the fall. Your progressed moon's still in Aries for another 7 months. So it's lots of new beginnings and continuing to kind of start and invent. And then your progressed moon goes into Taurus, and you want to kind of slow down and deepen and enrich your life rather than keep starting something new for a couple of years while you kind of work on that. And you'll continue to learn, though. You just won't be always starting something new and starting something new. You kind of like deepening and growing and really appreciate your teaching.
Well, you said for a couple of years.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Good
thank
luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Luck. Good. Sure. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Yes. Good luck to you.
And we have a question from an email, and the birth date is August 28th, 1955, at 5:32 a.m. from Mount Kisco, New York. And the email reads, if I can find it, hold on. I just had it. And it says, and they said quite cutely, I need access to your wisdom, it says. Okay. And she is an energy healer. She has her own boutique space, which 4 people sublet from her and have her own office there as well. It's in a house, which is our healing center. The owner of the house is telling us he is selling the house. My lease ends January 1st. Am I out of there? Because I have 4 sublets. Number 2, I'm in a really rough patch with a relationship, and who was sober before but now is drinking again, and we don't have the birth information about the friend, so that's going to be difficult. And let's see what we get out of this. And this is another Capricorn moon. Interesting, we get themes for the weekend. This is someone with a Sun, Mercury, Mars, Venus all lined up in Virgo, and the moon in Capricorn at 7 degrees. And I'm not seeing right off the bat signs of being evicted, but let's take another look. Saturn's going through the fourth house. Neptune is at 9 degrees and retrograding back, but it's in the house of, in the seventh house. So we, and the progressed moon is in Pisces. I would say about 3 months ago, when the progressed moon in Pisces conjunct Neptune, the spouse started to drink again. When the progressed moon in Pisces in the seventh house conjunct Neptune. And I would say that we don't know whether or not that spouse will sober up, but that she needs to look with her progressed moon. She's feeling very sensitive, very emotional, and may be slipping into codependent behavior with her beloved. And I would say, ask her to be, and with her sun in Virgo and moon in Capricorn, she's so highly competent that it's easy for her to do other people's work for them. And I would ask her to really look at her enabling and codependent behavior with her honey and make it very hard, fast, and clear what she chooses to do. That, you know, it's, I have a feeling that, that if she doesn't, that he's quite an intuitive person, and he can tell when she's waffling or what she really feels. So she's got to clear up how she feels about his drinking, how she feels about having him in her life while he's drinking, and state her case and hold her ground, or it will snowball. But I don't clearly see any signs of being evicted with that. Then you can see where she doesn't know, again, because that moon is conjunct Neptune, but it's separating aspect. Saturn's going through a fourth house. The ruler of her 10th house is Venus in Scorpio down at the bottom of her chart, conjunct Saturn. I'm wondering if Pluto is squaring Mercury, that she has to, that I don't think that the man will evict her, and he may be that selling the house with them in it as tenants to somebody who wants to invest will work. If she chooses to leave, I'd like her to leave on her own terms and in her own way. What do you see, Mark?
Yeah, I think I have the same feeling that, and really overall, you want to keep looking toward, you know, what's true and what's right, and not get tangled up in little arguments and it's right today or it's wrong tomorrow or, you know, it's a little momentary thing. You want to challenge yourself to look for the big picture and keep fulfilling what's right for yourself and for, you know, really everyone around you according to the principles that are the most important. And, you know, the thing that goes on with the relationship often will be kind of a, you know, it's like kind of a dysfunctional lawyer, you know, argue anything. Well, yes, but it's not exactly that. There's a little of this. And, you know, I think you end up getting confused and sort of you can't make a point stick. And, you know, because it gets argued away. And everything is equivocal if you allow it to be. But your job right now is not to let equivocating take over.
Right. Good luck on that. I would say it might be worthwhile to sit down with an astrologer. Our time is up, so we're going to have to say goodnight. This is Heather Rowan Robin from St. Paul. And Mark?
Mark Waltz, New York City.
And have a safe, healthy, and summer-filled week ahead. We'll talk to you next
week.
That's
right. Okay. Bye now.